This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place, whether you're in the mood for a little satire, where politics and art meet head-on, a short comedic opera, or a tribute to one of the biggest musical stars of the 1970s. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Art and politics collide in playwright Lee Blessing's solo play, Chesapeake, presented by the Second Star Performance Collective. Question: should government funds, public money, be used to support edgy, controversial art? That is the subject being explored in this one-person comedic romp starring Big Easy award-winning actor Jake Bartusch. Joining me now is Chesapeake director Harold Gervais. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you for having me.
This play, Chesapeake, was written by Lee Blessing 15 years ago. Describe the political scene that inspired this satire.
Well, that would have been the culture wars of the 1990s. Specifically, Andreas Serrano, which was the Christ in the Bottle, we all remember. It was a huge battle with Congress and NEA being spearheaded by Jesse Helms and Strom Thurmond. And the play kind of grows out of that.
What does the name Chesapeake refer to?
Chesapeake Retriever, which if you go online and you go to YouTube and you look for Chesapeake Retrievers, it'll give you Dogs 101 and it'll give you the characteristics of what the Chesapeake Retriever is as a breed. And then you see the play and you realize, oh my God, you were completely set up from the show from the beginning. I like to say the show is about rebirth, renewal, and retrievers. And you've got a performance artist who is the recipient of the NEA. You have a politician who is basically standing in for Thurmond or for Jesse Helms. And what you find out is a sentient dog. And hilarity ensues. It's very moving. It's very funny. And if you're in the arts at all, you know, I call it a preaching to the choir show. Because at the end, I just feel happy to be in the arts because it just sums up everything we need to do in order to be humans. And it's beautiful.
The dog.
The dog, yes. How do you describe a sentient dog? The setup is Care, played by Jake Bartusch, has a grant from the NEA. The politician in the play named Therm Pooley has his grant revoked in order to get elected as a publicity stunt. And then afterwards, he approaches Care and gives him the grant money back. So what Care decides is to stage a little protest. Pooley, the politician, has a dog named Lucky. That is his political prop. And Care decides to kidnap the dog, retrain the dog so the dog loves Care instead of Pooley, and then return the dog and make that his next exhibit, his next show. Things go horribly, horribly wrong, which sets up the sentient dog.
What does actor Jake Bartusch bring to the work?
Oh, Jake is one of those actors that has the amazing ability that once he opens his mouth, you just want to love him. And when you have that quality in an actor, almost anything's possible. Because no matter where he goes, you're invested in him as a person, as an actor. I like to say the play is a very funny play about very serious stuff. And Jake plays several characters. Jake plays all the characters in the show. Jake plays four humans and one dog. And they all kind of well out of him. And Jake has this incredibly beautiful energy that just keeps the train moving, and he's always entertaining, and he's one of those actors you watch and you can't stop watching him. He's wonderful.
So fast forward to 2014 now. Are we still fighting the same battle when it comes to controversial art projects and public funding?
We should be talking about it more than we are. I'm a big believer that art defines us as a culture, that in 150, 200 years, we're not going to remember the names of the politicians. But we're going to remember the music, we're going to remember the movies, we're going to remember the novels. Culture is defined by the art it produces. And we live in an age where we don't really talk about art, and we don't fund it like we should. There's a beautiful speech in the play that talks about what art gives us and how it enriches our lives and how it makes life worth living. Is there a hot button issue like there was in the late 90s? No. I kind of wish that there were. The conversation should be happening. I think it's still relevant.
Chesapeake Director Harold Gervais, thanks for stopping by.
Thank you very much.
Second Star Performance Collective presents Lee Blessing's Chesapeake at Barrister's Gallery, 2331 St. Claude Avenue. Performances run July 24th through 27th. Ticket information at Eventbrite, Brite.com.
What would you say if I left this town tomorrow? I guess I would, but I know I'd miss the train. I know I would. I'll take a dog's life, just laying in the sun. I'll take a dog's life, 'cause I don't care for this one. Chasing trains and planes. And
comedy continues as the Marigny Opera House and Ninth Ward Opera Company perform 2 one-act operas with selections by Samuel Barber. One is the American premiere of Gisela in Her Bathtub, a short piece with operatic puns and gags. The other is A Hand of Bridge, an insightful work which explores the lives of unhappily married couples engaged in a telltale game of cards. Ninth Ward Opera Company founder Dr. Kathleen Westfall joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Opera is found in an unlikely place, a bubbly bathtub. Set the stage for this romantic one-act Canadian opera. Who is Gisela and why do we find her in a tub surrounded by Vikings?
Gisela is a very romantic young woman who comes onto stage, sees her lovely bathtub full of bubbles, decides to read a romance novel. When she opens her novel and starts to read, the characters that she reads about magically come to life as opera singers prancing around the stage.
What makes the vocals challenging in this work?
I think that what is challenging for two of our singers is that they have to have a sword fight at one point. And that's been very interesting, teaching opera singers how to fight with swords.
And sing at the same time.
Yes.
Who are the cast members?
We have Helga, being sung by Laura Borras, Olaf, being sung by Leslie DeMartin, the ruler of Iceland, being sung by Samuel Hendricks, and Gisela is an unsung role performed by local burlesque dancer Cherry Brown.
So now what's happening as she is reading this novel?
So the story is about a king of Iceland who has a daughter named Helga, and she and Olaf used to be childhood friends, but something happened, which you'll have to come to the opera to see, and Olaf's father was killed. So Olaf and his family fled. Now Olaf has returned because he still is in love with Helga and wants to reunite.
And the Canadian composers, who are they?
Neil Wiesensell is the composer of Gisela in Her Bathtub, and Michael Cavanaugh is the librettist.
And how were you attracted to this production?
Since I've been interested in opera, I've always tried to find a way to make it very accessible to the general public. I'm always looking for one-act operas in English that are very short and very funny. And I scour the internet looking for things. Sometimes I find very, very out there little pieces. But this one just really struck my interest about 3 years ago. And I've been in contact with these people in Canada for 3 years trying to make this happen here in New Orleans.
Wow. And it's here.
It's here.
And you have another work on the bill. And this one, I believe, is regarded as the shortest opera that's regularly performed, 9 or 10 minutes.
Yeah, that piece is A Hand of Bridge by Samuel Barber. And I chose these two pieces because I think they complement each other so nicely. So A Hand of Bridge is moody, metaphorical, and the antithesis of grand opera, while Gisela really plays up on operatic archetypes and almost makes fun of grand opera.
So now let's talk about A Hand of Bridge. Is there symbolism in the cards?
There is. Every time you hear the word heart, you're listening to someone sing about their desire to find love. and their lack of it in their current marriage. And when you hear the word Trump, that usually refers to some kind of disloyalty or a knowledge that their husband or wife is having an affair with someone else. Spades describes the lack of love in their life and how isolated they feel.
Wow. Now, is this a jazzy work?
Definitely. Samuel Barber was heavily influenced by jazz. And actually, if you come to the opera and listen, it's almost got a walking bass line throughout the entire piece.
And the singers, is this another work that will put them to the test?
Definitely. This piece includes tritones almost everywhere. And this is the most difficult interval for a singer to sing repeatedly. It doesn't seem as easy as singing some of the other intervals, perfect fifths and fourths and major thirds and things like that. So these tritones abound, especially when they're trying to portray some kind of dissonance in their psyche, if you will.
Both one-act operas are relatively short. This is going to be a quick evening?
It is. If you come and try opera out at the Ninth Ward Opera Company at the Marini Opera House, you will only have 1 hour. We're going to follow it by songs by Samuel Barber, and he has such an eclectic range of songs. They're highly entertaining and very thought-provoking. I'm directing Gisela in Her Bathtub, and Josh Talley is directing A Hand of Bridge.
Your company, the Ninth Ward Opera Company, is in its third year. What are your thoughts as you reach this milestone here in New Orleans?
I'm very excited that people continue to show an interest in opera. I think that it's a very valid art form, and I feel that I understand why people love popular music so much. You know, it reflects your everyday feelings, your everyday kind of language. It's very relatable, and it almost sounds like speech. What I challenge audience members with is, why don't you experience something that you don't feel very often, that you maybe only feel a couple of times a year, and it's grand, heightened emotion? And why don't you come and try hearing the human voice at its best? Try hearing the Olympics of the human voice, if you will. Instead of having something that sounds like speech, see what the voice can do.
Dr. Kathleen Westfall, founder of the Ninth Ward Opera Company, thanks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Gisela in Her Bathtub and A Hand of Bridge, two one-act operas with performances July 24th through 27th at the Marini Opera House, 725 St. Ferdinand Street. More information at marinioperahouse.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Grammy Award-winning pop vocalist Linda Ronstadt, who was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this past April, is once again in the spotlight. This time, the Always Theater pays tribute with True Blue Bayou, featuring Dorian Rush as Ronstadt. Dorian is in the studio now to talk about this musical appreciation. Welcome.
Thank you, Diane. Thank you for having me.
You have big shoes to fill in this musical accolade to Linda Ronstadt. How did the show come about?
Well, Jonathan Meres, who runs the Always Theater, called me up and said that they had some spots open in July. And this was in June that he called. And he said, hey, do you want to do some kind of cabaret or some kind of musical tribute? And I thought about it and I said, there's many that I'd like to do, but you know, I've been thinking about Linda Ronstadt lately. And he got very excited over that. And I said, as long as we can have a band, I can do the show.
Were you a fan?
I'm a huge, huge fan of Linda Ronstadt.
When did you become familiar with her songs?
I was born with them playing. I really honestly don't know a moment that I didn't have her in my life, because she was on the radio. My mom owned her albums. At the time, I was so young, I didn't comprehend the magnificent scope of her work. It just simply didn't occur to me as a child that it was unusual for somebody to bend all the rules and cross from genre to genre in American popular music. And she really was the first person to do that successfully. And how she got the business to back her on that, because the music industry is such a fickle animal, but she had the right people around her that allowed her to explore all the avenues that she was interested in. And she did every single one of them so beautifully. She did folk music, country music, rock and roll, pop, jazz, mariachi, opera, Cajun. She ran the full gamut.
The title of your show, True Blue Bayou, goes back to the 1970s with Ronstadt's hit Blue Bayou. Mm-hmm. Was that a challenging number for you?
Yes. I used to perform on Bourbon Street before Katrina, and I sang it then, but I also could pick and choose when I sang it, so I always knew when my voice could handle it or not. Because that one note she reaches at the end, you have to be prepared for that. And of course, I'm like, oh, I'll put it in the show. I'll make it the end song. She loved Louisiana, and I talk about her roots and her relationship with Louisiana. And so it's the perfect song to end with. And of course, it didn't occur to me that by the end of a 90-minute show, to reach that note might be a little bit of a challenge. But I love challenges, and I think that is another reason why I picked her. Her work demands me to stretch my abilities.
Now, her career spanned 4 decades. What other big hits do you perform in the tribute?
I tried to get as many in there as I possibly could. It's So Easy to Fall in Love, Desperado, Love is a Rose. I pull out some obscure things as well, because I do 2 songs in different languages. I do one from her Spanish album, and I also do one from the Cajun album. So I'm singing in both Creole, Cajun, French, and also in Spanish. I also pulled out a little bit of opera, because she sang opera as well. I sang Different Drum. That was her first top 40 hit with the Stone Ponies.
How did you go about researching this project? You wrote the script, I believe.
I did. I started with her autobiography, and it's so music heavy. There's some personal stories in it, but there's a very long list of the people that she's worked with and her relationships with the people in the music industry. And I really wanted something a little more personal. So I ended up doing a lot of research online and reading other people's stories about her, because she's actually fairly discreet. She's a very discreet person. She doesn't talk about her love life. She doesn't talk badly about anybody ever. And so I kind of had to go the other direction and say, okay, well, who knew Linda? And what do they have to say about her? She's a normal person. Fame did not ruin her in any way. And she has no expectations of her fame. It never occurred to her that they would bend rules for her because she's famous. So she never asked. That's one of the reasons that she actually didn't meet Aaron Neville until the mid-80s, because she loved the Neville brothers. When they would come out to Los Angeles to play, word would spread like wildfire. And she was one of the screaming throngs of people in the audience. And she never navigated backstage politics to meet them. And it wasn't until she came to New Orleans in 1984 for the World's Fair, where she was performing with Nelson Riddle Orchestra, she found out the Nevilles were playing the night of her show. They were doing a late night gig. And so after her show, she shoved the whole band and some roadies into a couple cars, and they all ran out to hear the Nevilles. And somehow word got to Aaron Neville that she was in the audience. And he announced over the microphone, Linda Ronstadt is in the house. Her eyes got really big, and and he dedicated the song Ariane to her, which was her favorite song. And then at the end of the show, he invited her up to sing. Just a little doo-wop kind of background thing with everybody. And normally under those circumstances, she doesn't sing with people she doesn't know or hasn't rehearsed with or had some kind of chemistry with. And she just jumped on stage. She was not going to miss that chance to sing on stage with the Nevilles. And then their relationship continued from there.
So in this production, how do you channel Linda Ronstadt?
I have these wonderful wigs from Fifi Mahoney's that bring me through all her hairstyles. Once you put the wig on, you can embody the person. I don't try and imitate her. I don't try and be her when I'm talking about her, but I do try and channel and emulate her precision and her voice, her soul when she's singing. And she was such a chameleon. She had such a different voice for all of her music. She was very conscious about where she placed her tones, where she placed her growls, where she breathed. And I try and be as true to that as possible. And I try and emulate that as precisely as possible. I mean, there's still going to be a little bit of me in the music. I can't erase me from the music. But that's where I hope to pay the biggest homage to her and do her justice.
And as you entertain audiences, you are also reaching out to help Linda Ronstadt. How so?
We are giving a portion of our proceeds to Parkinson's disease research. She was diagnosed with Parkinson's in December of 2012, and she publicly announced that she was diagnosed with it in August of 2013. That disease has rendered her unable to sing a note anymore. It's completely robbed her of her voice. I just think that it's only fitting that we contribute. We want to help.
What will be most memorable from your performance?
Well, I don't want to give it away, but this is a multimedia presentation. There is a show-stopping scene. It's funny. I can't believe that we pulled it off, and I know that the audience will really enjoy it.
Dorian Rush, thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Singer-actress Dorian Rush pays tribute to Linda Ronstadt's four-decades-long career in True Blue Bayou at the Always Theater, 1030 Marigny Street, July 24th through 27th. More info at brownpapertickets.com.
I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all I need to know. I don't know much, but I know I love you. That may be all there is to know. Whoa.
That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back next week with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.